The Fan.
I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times I stopped keeping track. Talk myself in, I talk myself out.
Was it Jim Thorpe All-American? Because I know it was Newt Rockne All-American. That was a motion picture much older. Jim Thorpe All-American. I'll just tell you, when you read the section about Pop Warner, it's Pop Warner. First of all, the disc name Pop sounds so familiar and so folksy, does it not? Well, it's Pop Warner. It could be nothing scandalous or difficult about Pop Warner. And it turns out he's in the middle of the Jim Thorpe story as researched by David Marinus, as only he can indeed do.
What if Pop Warner gets canceled because of all of this? I mean, we changed the names for everything, right?
You never know.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know if I feel real good about that, but I want the story told. And I think the story is everybody acted like they didn't know that Thorpe was involved in making almost no money playing in this baseball semi-pro league when a number of other people were doing exactly the same thing. And it was the old, I don't know. And they all, Pop Warner in particular, because he was the guy in charge of the athletics there at that school, threw him under the bus. So it's an interesting subplot to the story. Ken writes, good to hear that a fellow 1967 graduate of Madison West High School on the show. Madison, Wisconsin, so successful. Thanks for having David on. We've talked to him about his Midwestern roots, for sure, several times over the years when we have chatted with him. So you can get it at bookstores, you can get it online today.
He wasn't coached by Joel Maturi. That was Chris Farley, right?
I think at
Edgewood. I think that was private school.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that, too. Man.
And Matt Foley, the motivational speaker, was based on that.
I got a text. Well, it was actually a DM from one of us Hollywood actors. I get a good entertaining one every day. We talked about one of them yesterday that now he's a Rocco oboe. After being totally down on him because of the way Rocco lost his mind on the call that got reversed, now he's a Rocco guy. But then he also sent this out. This was from 12:52 yesterday, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't bother to check with anybody, most notably you. Here's how it reads. If Jerry can collect a nice payday from Dunkers, surely I can move back to Minnesota now, yes? And I'm thinking, what's he talking about? Jerry? Well, it's Jerry Kill. And you have tweeted out that indeed, and I still don't know that I believe it. Okay, I'm just going to say, I'm still wondering whether you're trolling all of us, or maybe even the Dunkers are trolling you, therefore then you're trolling the rest of us.
It might be one big troll.
Honest to God, I still not sure I believe it. But as I understand it, based on your tweet that has received some attention, the day the Gophers open the 2022 football season at home, what's the date?
I think that's the 1st of September.
I think you're right, September 1st. Yep. Against who we play in New Mexico State?
The New Mexico State Aggies.
That morning, because it's a night game.
8 o'clock kick.
That morning, the guy who's coaching the opposing team, who we know and respected at one point, Jerry Kill, will be the featured speaker at Dunkers.
First of all, it's a beautiful sunny day here in the great state of Minnesota.
Now, this is not intended as a statement on Kill. It must be understood. It's you told bizarre to me, and you know me. I'm not above getting snarky about the head coach, the current head coach. I'm not above elbowing you and needling you about your affiliation with it.
Yeah.
But I find this maybe even more preposterous than you do. How does this make any sense? Jerry Kill didn't leave 3 weeks ago. How long has he been gone now?
At least 6 years. 2015, I think he stepped away.
How many years has P.J. Fleck been the head coach?
Counting year zero?
Counting year zero.
This is year six.
Year six?
Yep, coming up on year six.
This makes no sense. I love Jerry Kill as much as I know he can spin a yarn, but the day of the game, and again, it's not like it's going to, I'm suggesting that it's going to somehow, alter the outcome or anything like that. It's just such a puzzling embarrassing look to me that you're, oh, who are you going to have? Oh, you need somebody for dunkers. Well, how about Jerry Kill? You know, he was big here. I'm actually gobsmacked by it. Even by Minnesota standards, I it doesn't make any sense to me. If I were PJ Fleck, and I'm not, I would be pissed off. I would. And you could say, well, don't be so small. It's just a speech. We're talking about football. I get all of that. But it makes no sense. And so I don't know if there's certain dunkers who are still losing themselves in Jerry Kill's eyes and they're waxing nostalgic because, look, we all did Jerry Kill and liked him. We respected, I did, what he did with the program. But then it was over, and some of it was tragic because of, really, it began with the health issues, right?
Yeah.
But it got also pear-shaped for some other reasons as well. And frankly, it should matter to people that Jerry Kill has gone out of his way as often as he has to rip the guy who's followed him. And I've ripped the guy from time to time who's followed him, but not like him, not as obsessively as he has. And I guess I'm, you know, it's their event. It's dunkers. They can do what they want to do. But I think it's embarrassing. I think it's such a bad look. And whoever was inspired to do this, I don't know who you are. And I don't know what world you're living in, but it's over. The Jerry Kill thing is over. For better or for worse, you have to move on. And beyond that, he was successful here by, you know, the limited standards that we tend to associate with being a Golden Gopher football coach, right? But he's not a legend. Okay? He's not Pop Warner. In the better sense. He's not Jim Thorpe. I mean, what's next by the dunkers? Are they going to petition for a statue, for a Jerry Kill statue outside the stadium? In all seriousness, I mean, where does this end? What are you doing?
Some people might pay for it.
We've all saluted, and we've all said it doesn't mean, you know, like, we got to hate him now. I'm not suggesting you have to hate him, but where else? You're right. Where else does this happen? It's mind-boggling that apparently some people in authority with the dunkers got in a room and said, you know what, day of the game, you know what would be kind of cool? We'll have Jer up there. Have Jerry Kill back to, you know, wake up the echoes and wax nostalgic about the old days. You're playing that to his team that night. He doesn't care about you anymore, nor should he. He's moved on. And in moving on, he has, let's be honest, he's gone scorched earth, which is his right. He may have reason for some of his beefs with the head coach, the current one. I don't know. I've had some criticism of the head coach. That's, to me, all immaterial to this. It's the damnedest. In a way, there's a part of it that's the damnedest thing you could imagine. But in another way, it really is.
It's Minnesota.
What we are.
It is.
And I guess we pride ourselves on it. And I don't know why. I don't know what we're pining for at this point. If there are two or three people, organizers of the Dunkers, for example, who continue to lose themselves in Jerry Kill's eyes, take him to breakfast. Seriously. Take him to Good Day Cafe.
Well, they
right are.
They're having him for their breakfast.
Yes, but yeah, just have a private breakfast where you can, you know, you can talk about the Nebraska game. Touch the hem of his garment over and over again. The whole Dunkers thing? What am I missing? Well, I guess I could say, what are you missing? BoothTheCafeIn.com is the Bradshaw and Brian inbox because it's one of the funnier toy department stories. Again, this is all toy department, so there's no lives lost here. We get that. But one of the funniest toy department stories in recent memory. I really do. It's like only here would we have a sign that says we like it here. And only here would we, 6 years later, after that guy has gone. And by the way, part of the time when they were trying to save a job for him, I thought they worked overtime to try to do that, and then he was still pissed off.
Nobody made him quit.
And I don't know what he by the end of it, I'm going, what are you mad about? I'm not even sure what you're mad at. I could see you being mad at being in the health position you're in because that's sad.
It was terrible.
And it did affect everything. But I just go, well, where are you going with this? Where is exactly is this going to end? If I can get an explanation, email me. BoothTheCafeIn.com, Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Maybe somebody from the Dunkers can explain it. And I'm not suggesting that he should be booed when he gets up there. I would never urge that. That's not the way I operate. But I would be, I got to admit, I'd be going, what are we doing? We're doing what?
The guy that rips the school, rips the head
and
coach.
And I would even say, even if he doesn't, but above that he does, yeah, is an added element to it. But even if he does, like, what are we doing? We got to move on. It's over. And that wasn't like, maybe you finesse it. You go, well, he just left last year and it was an emotional finish and we didn't really get a chance to say goodbye to him in a real way. We've said goodbye to him 50 times. And he's had like 12 other jobs since he left there. I still think you're trying. You're making it up.
I'll send you the link. It's on the website. Save the date. Thursday morning. The old ball coach is coming back. Right there. You can't miss it. Maturi's there.
Who's coming next year, Brewster?
Well, that people did go there. I'm emotional at your response to this. I don't think I can do the rest of the show. I wasn't sure how you were going to play.
No, we've got some people. I hate to say this. We've got some people who have lost a lot of power, but cling to the only remaining power they have. And it's kind of feeble. It really is. It's kind of pathetic. And none of this is in any way to impugn the character of Jerry Kill. I had a good relationship with. You had a good relationship with.
I did.
It has nothing to do with that. I'm even wondering if there's a part of Jerry Kill that's going, what am I doing?
I don't think so.
Probably not. I may be giving him too much credit there. So BoothAndKiffAndGun.com, if you can explain this to me, because it's going to stay with me. I'm not going to forget. I'm going to talk about it every day until that game is played.
Take him to breakfast.
Honest to God. It's just unbelievable.
You don't think it's happening in Madison?
No, it's not happening anywhere.
Iowa City, Nebraska.
And I don't want it to be, well, those places aren't as civilized as we are. This isn't even being about being civil. This just doesn't make any sense. There's no sense to this. You're going to need to send me the release.
All right, I'll send you the link.
Is it possible the Dunkers have established a sense of humor?
Maybe.
And they're just trying to get everybody going.
Get some attention.
It worked for me. It worked through you. It absolutely worked for me. And I, like I said, obviously, Josh Broughton heard about it either from you. When did you send that tweet out? Because I missed it.
Yesterday.
Okay. Then he must have been responding to the tweet.
Yeah.
And
it got a little
attention.
You and
I didn't talk about it today or until today. And it's like, honestly, I shake my head.
And the Fan.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up. Get on up. Get up.
Are you prepared to apologize?
To who this time?
Emailer Tom, Fargo. I agree. It's absolutely preposterous. Dunkers bit like Vikings flagship station allowing a Packers pregame show the morning of Vikings games.
Totally the same.
Are you boxed? Are we boxed?
I think we're boxed up. I think we're frauds.
Man. May have to do a Sirwanga next segment. I'm not sure I buy the analogy, but that's okay. To each his own. And by the way, to this day, there are still people very bitter that we have had Packer preview on this station. I don't think it features their head coach, but I think it's a radio guy named David Sinekin. He is a Packer Rube.
He is.
No question about that.
And an owner.
But I don't think he's ever going to get a statue at Lambeau.
You know what's interesting?
What's that?
I'm on TwinCitiesDunkers.com.
Yeah.
And yesterday, it said save the date. Thursday, September 1st.
Right.
Jerry Kill. Today it says save the date. It's in the works. Check back for details on our next meeting.
What's that mean?
Did we get to the Dunkers? I don't see Jerry Kill anywhere on here.
Might be gone? Maybe do you think Luigi's a dunker, isn't he?
I would have to imagine.
I mean, I don't know how often he goes. He's probably never there because he's never here. But
what are we doing with Jerry Kill?
You think maybe they're changing it up, huh?
All I know is,
so his name no longer appears.
There's his name in his picture yesterday, and I don't see it there anymore.
Maybe it's going to be PJ Fleck now. Well.
He just talked like a month ago.
Why not? I mean, it's a long day anyway.
It's
what
true.
Time's the Dunkers breakfast?
7-ish.
7 a.m. ish?
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, business leaders have business to run.
Yeah.
they're business people. They got big, important businesses to run.
There's no question.
Maybe we got to them. If you're a dunker, you don't have to.
You don't have to identify yourself.
Yeah, you can go encrypted because I know it's serious business.
Goodness.
Serious business. You can let me know if that one's been canceled. We won't out you. We won't tell the rest of the dunkers.
Don writes, it can't happen in Iowa City. All the previous coaches have passed away.
Well, they've only had two in 50 years. Yeah. I mean, Ferentz, I think, is
more
the only
stable than we have. Hayden Fry, right? Did he replace Hayden Fry?
He did.
Think about it.
They've had two coaches since like 1979.
Remarkable.
It's crazy.
That's stability for you. Now maybe that'll be the direction we're headed. I don't know. I got a couple of...
Well, now I'm intrigued. Now I wonder if we...
Well, yeah, let's do some due diligence on it. Somebody will probably contact you or me.
Or if they're just going to try to do it under the cloak of darkness.
Well, that's... That would be even more embarrassing if you try to go underground on it. Like, I don't even know what you'll notice. We'll take the name away. We do Dr. Dan's inbox on Thursdays, but I want to read some real emails that have come in. Not satiric. Well, they might be satirical, but they're not for that bit. One of them relates to the discussion we had. Was it late last week? We talked about the Peggy Noonan column about the loss to the culture of the
workplace,
lonely office, the lonely workplace. And Nick heard that discussion, and he wrote this. My fiance is a graphic designer for Target. She only got to work a few months in office before they shut down, but work life is now much more efficient. The mass majority of employees are happy working remotely. Target leadership reached out to employees, and so many of them preferred working remotely that they made it semi-permanent. Driving to and from the Target Corp building was a major pain, and parking extremely expensive. People now have more time for their actual lives while still getting work done as efficiently as before. It's a new era, and the majority of the people are here for it. I don't disagree, I would say to Nick, if he's listening, and even if he's not, regarding any of the things he said. But it wasn't the point of the discussion. I didn't necessarily say that for those individual employees, this trend is a bad thing. What I said and what she wrote about was the cost of doing things that way in a collective sense. It doesn't necessarily mean you're obligated to reverse course, but we are allowed, as we make these sorts of changes and allegedly evolve, to think that, okay, this is better, but what did we lose? And in the case of Target, if I'm not mistaken, Target got, I don't know if they got money or they got tax breaks when they built downtown, because obviously cities want to encourage businesses to be a part of the downtown. And so the question that comes up is, what obligations do you have as a company if, in a sense, the decisions you make to tell people they can stay away, even if it works better for them individually, does that have collectively on a downtown that seems to be being more and more of a ghost town? Now, it's probably less of a ghost town than it was in the heart of COVID, but there's still this feeling, because so many offices have not come back for whatever reason, that it contributes to, in some cases, what I call the creeping sense of chaos, that there's not as many people around, therefore it may be easier for the people who want to do bad things to do bad things, and it sort of discourages the normal, what you'd call, buzz of the big city that many of us have associated with Minneapolis or many other cities. So, yeah, it might individually be very helpful. What she's writing about, though, is what are you losing, and what, in fact, might many workers collectively be losing in terms of interaction with other individuals who might not be in their same, might be actually less likely to be in their same silo. I never got to the email or responded to the email somebody had saying, you know, she's one of those back in my day gals, and you're like that too, Dan, and time marches on, and things change, and people come up with new ideas. I think the flaw in that logic isn't that things can't change, but whether actually what she's asking for is still innovation in terms of how people communicate, come up with ideas, but that they're doing so in groups where they are around each other, socially, professionally, et cetera, et cetera. You can still, I think, reinvent the wheel in a full office. just as easily as you can try to reinvent the wheel. I don't think that's part of what necessarily has to change. You can have different ways of thinking about certain concepts, business ideas, et cetera, whether you're all working in the same office, in a full office, or you're all working remotely as well, and you may be losing some other things along the way. Fantasy football was a big topic on Sunday, and I asked the question that, and fantasy football people got very defensive about it because they assumed I meant this in a pejorative way, and I really didn't. I said, well, what if fantasy football just didn't exist? What if for whatever reason nobody ever came up with it, or for some reason it was deemed illegal and people actually didn't play? How would that change the way you, what's the modern word for it, consume the game of football? Got a lot of reaction to that discussion. Jim missed the live show but did listen via the podcast. I wish fantasy football had never been invented. All the extra scrolling stats litter the screen, and they keep adding layers of banners for it. ESPN's the worst. Want to see scores from other games? Good luck, or go online. However, in my opinion, fantasy football brings in viewers who would not otherwise watch numerous games. It's why the NFL embraced it like they have gambling. I tried fantasy football one season, quit because it felt like an additional job. Not fun at all for me. Full disclosure, I'm 58. Maybe that has something to do with it. As always, great shows. I can't miss a minute of any of them. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any doubt that it has made the game more popular. I don't know that I buy. I think we're all kind of making it up in terms of how you measure how much more popular it has made the game than it otherwise would be. I think it's impossible to answer it. There's no doubt that for an element of people, it makes them, it engages them with the game, but it really doesn't engage them with the game. It engages them with the players that give them a chance to win more money, which for me is not worth the trouble, because for me, it does take away the way I process a game and the way I watch a game and what I'm fascinated with and what I'm interested in seeing. But I thought it was an interesting letter nevertheless. About an hour from now, Michael Hurley on the Mar-a-Lago escapades involving the former president. Michael also will chat with us about an Al-Qaeda killing that took place. Was it last week or the week before?
I think the week before.
From the nine, well, a lot of people believe the guy who was really the mastermind behind 9/11. We can argue about that. He might even have some opinions on that issue. He's got a 9/11 podcast that he's going to start in the fall as well. So we'll talk to Hurley about a bunch of different issues. I've got a couple of Vikings issues I'd like to mention, and even perhaps get to some more emails via the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox. So a pretty full show. We got another Ode to a Dead Guy to get today. I almost feel like it's happening every day. And it's another a weighty name, in this case, from the world of pop.
The Fan.
Anyway, for the record, the top 10 dunker speakers by frequency, you want to take a couple guesses? Who is number one with a bullet?
Bobby Knight.
Not close.
Not close?
I'll give you one more guess.
What sport?
Well, if I give you the sport, I'm afraid it's going to...
Bud Grant.
No. He's not even in the top 10.
I don't know.
John Anderson.
Oh, yeah. He's been here 50 years.
19 speakers. It says number of games at Dunkers. Does that mean that
events.
You're giving this events?
Yep. Yeah. It's a team.
Oh, they're playing sports.
Playing
I get the
game.
Sports analogy.
Sports, yeah.
Two is Donny Lucia at 17.
Okay.
Sid is third at 16. Clem Haskins, 14.
Makes sense.
Pam Borton, 13. Tied with Glenn Mason and Corey Provis.
Are you nuts?
Gardy, 12. Tom Kelly, 12. Our guy Luigi, 12.
Not anymore.
Well, that's it. And that's the top 10. That's the top 10 list right there. So Bud's not even on it.
That stuns me.
Me too. I mean, I'm sure he's got to be also receiving votes.
Yeah.
But he's not in the top 10.
So one highly placed source is telling me, in fact, the Jerry Kill event has been canceled.
I hope you're happy. you apparently do believe in cancel culture.
I guess
fraud,
I do.
You fraud.
I didn't make him cancel it. It's not my fault they bowed to societal pressure.
Let me guess. Now Jerry Kill instead will be speaking at First Avenue that morning.
I'm sure he'll speak somewhere. Or maybe they're just going to breakfast, the seven or eight of them.
Ah. Adi Divots. Well, the power of the Guardsy tweet apparently changed pretty much.
I am taking credit for it, if in fact
well,
it's
yeah,
canceled.
Yeah, because that was yesterday.
I'm 100% ranted, taking credit for it. I'm not going to be
10
humble
minutes
about
ago.
It.
No, it's dumb. It's really dumb. I mean, it's just bizarre. And according to a couple of sources that I'll remain nameless, they are as... When they learned about it, they were just as gobsmacked. They're like, what? They're not. Well, apparently now they're not. Well, now, though, you're going to have to volunteer. You should volunteer. See, you've put them in the lurch. You have left them in the lurch. They've got to find a speaker now for that day. And now if you should do the manly thing and offer your services.
I'd say go back to John Anderson, make it an even 20.
Well, yeah. It's another way to
He's
go.
He's a great speaker.
Huh.
You know, John Anderson.
I'm still waiting for my first Dunkers invitation.
You and me both. I don't think it's coming.
Well, now, not especially,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
Probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
John Anderson and Herb Brooks had a very good relationship.
That's interesting.
Which I found out when I talked to John Anderson for the Golden Gopher podcast. He talked about he would just hang out at Gopher hockey practice and talk to Herbie because he played hockey. He played hockey, I think, in junior college before he came to the U. He was, growing up on the range, he was a great hockey player.
That, yeah.
And so he loved being around it, but I always thought that was interesting. So I'd say fire up John Anderson for September 1st. If you need a speaker in a couple of weeks, let him tell that story.
And I heard a couple of other really interesting Dunkers things that I can't get into on the air right now, but my God, it's just amazing.
My dad's going to be mad at me.
Well, the beauty, you see, for me is, yeah, they probably didn't like me anyway. So you got a lot more to lose, I think,
I
than I do, to be honest with you.
I know.
You got a lot more to lose. So Thursday Night Football, is it going to be all Amazon all the time?
I believe that's true.
Okay.
Yep.
So here's an example of, I guess, the effort to widen out the sort of production, to not go with sort of the cookie cutter. Here's our booth. Here's our 3-person booth, or here's our 2-person booth. The conventional announcer and often former football player, right? Broadcasting the game. Amazon apparently has. Well, we know they've hired Al Michaels. He'll host their main broadcast, but. Apparently, they're going to offer, because now everybody's stealing everybody's material on this, because nobody can come up with their own ideas. They're going to have different simultaneous feeds who might not be the typical NFL fans. And I don't think the Mannings are available, so they're not doing that. I don't know that. Are the Mannings doing it on ESPN again? Is that locked in?
I would imagine. Yeah, ESPN2 is what they do it on.
Okay. Well, instead, apparently, one of the alternate streaming feeds will be hosted by something called Dude Perfect. You familiar with Dude Perfect?
I know who they are, kind of.
They're described in this Wall Street Journal story as a sports comedy team known for performing trick shots and challenges like pitching a ball through the window of a moving car, wacky, or having professional athlete guests such as former quarterback Drew Brees perform similar types of stunts. So it's going to be, I guess, for better or for worse, Dude Perfect. On the ancillary call. It's fine. You got to do what you got to do. And I understand we're trying to bring in new fans. I don't think pro football needs to bring in any new fans, by the way. I don't think they have that issue the way baseball does. But we're back to what we've talked about before. It's like a few superhero movies do well at the box office. And then... Well, we can't come up with any other ideas, so we'll just try to do more superhero films and more and more and more. and we'll expand them, and we'll give them alternate versions of them.
We'll combine them.
And we'll combine them. That's it. We'll have trios. We'll have, you know, duos, et cetera, et cetera. And at some point you go, well, you've lost the thread of what this was all about on the front end. Same here. It's just like the idea that, well, we got to try to, we have to try to approximate the popularity of the Mannings. And it's like, well, it's the Mannings. It's sort of like we talked about the TNT basketball crew forever. It's not that there's four people there. It's those four people who've meshed as well. And we all know that, you know, the straw that stirs the drink is Charles. And it's the old, what's the cliche? The man makes the story, or no, the story makes the man. I don't remember. But in this case, it's not the format so much than it is what the individuals do with it, you know? And the idea, well, we're just going to put, because baseball's tried, didn't they try it? Weren't they been doing this with A-Rod?
And Michael Kay.
And Michael Kay.
Yeah, K-Rod.
And they had Billy Crystal on one day, and it's fine.
I've watched it. It's not good.
Well, that one was okay, well, just I'm because sure, when yeah. Crystal talked, it was interesting.
Yep.
But beyond that, it's like, it's you know, I guess it again shows how starved we are for ideas that, well, let's just come up with something completely different. No, what we're going to do is we're going to get our own duo or trio and try to imitate the chemistry and the success of that other group or that other group or whatever. By the way, emailer Jonathan says Bob Knight has been a speaker four times at the Dunkers, for the record.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
And that does make sense.
Especially back in the day.
Yeah. I know, you know what they can get to replace Kill? This would be perfect. And you know what? He'd do it. Kessler.
He's available.
Pat Kessler is available. He's a Gopher Rube.
He is, yeah.
And he would love it. I mean, it would play to his ego perfectly. He'd probably bring some vegetables with him. Probably some of those oversized, deformed vegetables that he's so fascinated
Did
with.
Did you see that was like the national day yesterday? Like it was like, zucchini on your neighbor's
step.
Well,
to be honest with you, Mike, Giovanzi mentioned it. She was, you know, Googling the old, whose days are these? There were a bunch of different days. And I couldn't explain to her the vegetable thing.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't going to make any sense with her. But it was the day. And I thought of Kessler immediately.
I think someone said every day is that day in Pat Kessler's life.
You might be right.
He's been throwing zucchinis all over town.
That's an I voted sticker deal related there. And what emailer Steve has done, he sent an email saying, why do you hate children, Dan? And it appears that on his own kid, he has epoxied on the kid's forehead the I voted sticker. This is not for me ranting against children.
No.
I don't think it's legal for children to vote, though, is it?
Well, I don't know what the rules are anymore.
No, it's hard to know. It's hard to keep up with what the rules are.
I mean, there's a lot of chicanery going on in our elections.
I don't know. So if you have suggestions on, by the way, who should the Dunkers should replace Jerry Kill with, Bradshaw and Brian, since you ruined it. Bradshaw and Brian inbox is Booth, B-O-O-T-H.
They can still have breakfast.
At KFAN.com. That's true. But, I mean, the whole bit is a speaker, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole bit. Somebody notable. And now, because of you, they're scrambling. They're having to look elsewhere because you're...
I got sensitive about
it. You got your nose
out
of joint about something completely and perfectly harmless, as I think I just mentioned, about an hour, 45 or so minutes ago.
Maybe Kirk Ferentz could come on. Or Brett Bielema or
Paul Chryst. You could make the argument, though, that Jerry Kill at this point is so harmless that it wouldn't matter, because the other ones you're naming are still meaningful.
Yeah,
Jerry Kill's meaningless at this point in that sense.
In that sense.
You'd say, why are you threatened by him, Garzi? Are you threatened by Jerry Kill at this point? Just saying. It's out there. Any second thoughts?
No.
Okay.
None.
So I'll be sure.
None.
I mean, this is your chance because I don't know that you're going to get another chance. Yeah, because once the ship starts,
I have no regrets. I thought it was absurd sailing? At the time. I still think it was absurd.
I just think. And for
mostly,
me,
like you said, go ahead.
For me, it's just comical. It made my day once you mentioned it to me. Did I ask you about this before the show?
No.
Or during?
You asked me about it at like 3:55.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly it. Because I wanted something to talk about, and I had noted the DM from
Josh Broughton.
And I hadn't really completely put two and two together. I'm thinking, well, what? Because I just assumed it was not going to be Jerry Kill. So what other Jerry could it be who's going to speak to the Dunkers? And what does he mean by coming back home? Because Jerry Kill's not really from here.
No.
But I think he meant in the sense of, you know, if Jerry Kill can come back that way, then why can't he? Although he's well past. How about Arnie Carlson?
Big go for
Although
fan.
Arnie, will he be here for that? He's in Florida a lot now, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah. We haven't talked to him in a while.
He's a live wire. It is primary day today, is it not?
It is.
Joel writes, Mark Rosen has appeared at breakfast as MC the last two fundraising dinners for Dunkers, which has raised over $1 million for Minneapolis and St. Paul High School Athletics. Go ahead. You want to rip them now?
They do a nice job with that.
Rip them now?
Well, I'm worried. Rosen, he said he was all in on the Kill event yesterday when I talked to him about it. So I'm hopefully Rosen can find some alternative plans that day.
Well, he's going to be pissed at you too then. Because they're tight. Rosie and Kill are tight.
Yeah.
So now you got that on your shoulder. You got a lot of burdens that you're going to have to carry.
I knew what I was getting into. I knew the waters I was wading into.
The next few weeks, for sure.
I woke up looking for violence yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what the tweet started.
Pretty much found it. All-time sellout Dunkers, Jonathan writes, Dunkers could get a sellout if you booked Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer together. Well.
They might, yeah.
Terry writes, you know Kill will blame PJ for being canceled. That could happen. This does allow him to go
play
back,
the martyr role.
And he's played it before.
He loves that card.
He loves the martyr card, so it will allow him to play it again. I hope you don't have to talk to him at halftime, because he ain't going to talk to you once he finds out that you basically blew the lid off this story. He ain't going to want to talk to you.
I'll say hi to him.
That bridge has been... No,
we had a good relationship.
Say hi, but the bridge is burned.
I don't think I burned it.
He wanted to have a nice breakfast. That's all he wanted.
With some old friends.
He knows he's going to get killed. Marty Wexler III? No. Bo Ryan?
I think he's in California.
Bulls gal?
That'd be a good follow-up. Story. They'd pack it in.
How about Gerby? How about Lou Holtz?
Yeah. I bet Holtz appeared at Dunkers after he was gone.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But like you said, the biggest difference, the reason why it was so preposterous is because no other head coach has gone out of their way to rip the school and the current head coach.
Yeah, to the degree.
That's, to me, was the difference in why, like you said, if you're PJ, you're going, what are we doing here? These are supposed to be my guys. These are supposed to be the ones that are allegedly helping me, the business leaders. These aren't media members or anything like that. These are the people in the town where I'm trying to get people to come to, and they're letting the old guy who trashed me publicly for the last 5 years come on in. That was my biggest
It's just... I don't even think it, for me, it wouldn't matter if he'd ripped them at all. But I think it's preposterous. But it adds another layer to the preposterousness, given the relentless nature of that badgering. It's just like...
Publicly and privately, by the way.
Yeah, that's true, too.
In town.
Who are you trying to pay off here? Who are you trying to make amends with? Every attempt was exhausted to try to save Jerry Kill as the coach of this team. It was a very unfortunate set of circumstances regarding his health. But from that point forward, it got pear-shaped for a lot of reasons, some of them that Jerry Kill himself contributed to, and at some point there was not anything else. It was just an unfortunate circumstance that no university at some point could do anything about. So it's almost like there's this guilt complex going on here. It's very strange. Dude Perfect writes, Matt is a 100% play for the younger audience. Their YouTube channel has millions and millions of views, and you all know it's about the views. That's what matters. That's how we define quality.
Yep.
If you ask my third-grade daughter, the release of a new video on their channel is appointment television. If them hosting means I get to watch NFL games interrupted, the Dude Perfect broadcast is a win. The problem, though, is if your daughter demands the Dude Perfect broadcast, I don't know how much of the game you're actually going to be able to concentrate on, right? Because isn't the game almost a side note when you do these funky, wild and wild broadcasts? And for the hardcore fan, I think they want to watch the game. I think football is the one sport
usually
where they want to watch. Yeah, most people, they're there to watch the ball game. They want some entertainment in terms of the broadcast, but I don't think they want it necessarily to be a sideshow. Top five will include.
Speaking of television deals, big dominoes falling in the Big Ten negotiations with big money. The Twins are back in action tonight. We'll tell you who's in and out of the lineup. And the greatest tennis player of all time announced her future plans.